magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Let's worship him, Jesus Christ. Concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself. Just concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship Christ.
Stand this evening. This is 372 in your hymn book.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet the ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from Satan tries to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. Oh, they are underneath the blood on that cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my
turn around, shake somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. That's good enough for me. Oh, praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. Are you happy about that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. We have something to be happy about.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this evening. Good to be in service again to worship the Lord together. And want to continue to remember Sister Rochelle Erickson. She's stable but still very critical, but the doctors are given some hope and things that they believe she'll pull through. But we're not, as much as I appreciate that, we're not depending on their hope. We already had hope before when they thought she wasn't going to make it. So, amen. I'm thankful that we have a hope in the saving and healing power of Jesus. But I'm glad to hear that they're on board now. And also, Brother Sam Stolwell, Want to remember his family in prayer. They had their house burnt today, and they lost everything they owned. So want to remember them in prayer. I know that's very difficult, I'm sure. So want to just lift them up in prayer that the Lord will come on the scene for them at this time. Also, Sister Stephanie requests to remember Sister Joy Duvall. She's sick tonight, so want to remember her in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come tonight, lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this evening, Lord. Lord, we've come before your throne so many times, Lord, and you've never failed us one time. You've never left us disappointed. Heavenly Father, you might not have done everything that we've ever asked, but Lord, you've always answered. Heavenly Father, we just come again tonight. We lay hands, Lord, upon these requests now. Lord, this family, Lord, that lost their home today, Lord, dear Jesus. Lord, dear Jesus, our heart goes out to them. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, dear Jesus, that you would be there, Lord, and that through your bride, Lord, dear Jesus, we would be your hands, we would be your feet, we would be you, Lord, dear Jesus, reaching out, not just to this family, but, Lord, the other ones. Lord, the testimony about Sister Rochelle, Lord, dear Jesus, God, it just makes us know that you can do anything. There's nothing that's impossible with you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, Lord, with the rest of these requests, Lord. Don't remember them all, but Lord, you know. And Lord, every hand that was raised, there's no way I could know what's on that heart, but Lord, you know exactly what's on that heart. And Lord, dear Jesus, you've caused circumstances, you've caused situations, Lord, to come about. Lord, in some cases, just to show your power. In other cases, Lord, to bring us to our knees so that we would recognize you as our sole provider. Heavenly Father, we just come, Lord, believing in your word. Lord, as Brother Lauren came and stood at this altar this morning, opened up that Bible and said, I believe this word. I'm standing upon this word. God, holding you accountable to your own word, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, tonight that we would bring your word, Lord, to bear in every one of these situations, Lord, your Jesus. We just ask that you would be in the remainder of the service, every song that is sung, every word that is spoken. And Lord, especially in the baptismal service, Lord, we just thank you for these, Lord, your Jesus, that are testifying tonight, Lord, that they have died to the old man, the old nature. And Lord, they want to arise in newness of life and walk in your spirit, Lord, your Jesus. We thank you for each of these souls, Lord, that want to come and be part of you by baptism in your name. We give you praise and glory now for all these things and ask that you would watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Naomi Nicholson.
See you.
Amen. God bless you. Well done. This time we have a special from Brother Nathan.
Well, for those of you that haven't been coming enough, long enough to know, it's that time of year again. And every year for, I guess, the last 4 years, my wife has asked me to sing this for her birthday. And today is her birthday, and it's also Sister Gloria Soderquist's birthday and also Sister Debbie Pierce's birthday. And I won't tell you how old they are. You can ask them if you'd like. But I'm going to sing this for her tonight and for the Lord Jesus. And amen. I believe the words to this song are true. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show,
those specials.
Amen.
This is 323 in your hymn book.
Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes. the tree. By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Church, he's come. Take us home with him to stay, where his glory forever will share. And when that last trumpet sounds, we will all be glory bound. Up there we'll live forevermore.
Stand.
Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Oh, hallelujah to take us home with him to stay, where his glory forever will share. And when that last trumpet sounds, we will all be glory bound. Up there we'll live to the Lamb of God. Oh, it was told that he would come, and that race he would run. It would end on an old rugged tree. But when they to the Lamb that was slain upon
the tree. Oh, by his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let's try it once without the music. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. Oh, by his stripes we are healed, by his
oh, he's worthy of our worship tonight. Amen. Let's sing it again together. Oh, hallelujah.
upon the tree. Oh, by his stripes we are healed. It's by his blood that we are sealed. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen. You thankful for that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. What a blessed people that we are to know that.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, again this evening to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. St. Matthew, chapter 5. And I want to pick up where we left off last Sunday evening. St. Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 1 to begin with. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we looked at that thought last week on the poor in spirit, how even though most people don't want to take that way, that Jesus said they're blessed. And he goes on to say here on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, just asking that you would be in our midst, Lord, feeling your presence here with us already, Lord, as we came to worship you and as we sang the songs of Zion, Lord, just feeling you come down and bless us, Lord. I just ask that you'd be in the continuation of this service, Lord. For these that are coming to be baptized, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one, Lord, that's made this decision, Lord, one of the best decisions they could ever make. Lord, to accept you into their heart, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to be with each one, Father. Be with the continuation of this service. Lord, help me for a little while as I try to speak, Lord, something that would be pleasing to you. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way so that you could use me as you see fit, Lord. And as we look into the quotes and into the scriptures, Lord, we know they're already anointed. But Lord, I ask that you wouldn't only anoint me, but Lord, if it would just be the platform that was anointed, it wouldn't do any good. But may you anoint the hearts and ears of the hearer, Father, Lord, so that it would do something to draw us closer to you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you this evening. You can be seated. As we looked at this last week on this thought of supremely blessed, and when we looked at the Beatitudes here, and we started with blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to look tonight on blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And if you go to the dictionary and you look up this word of beatitude, as we're told many times that this lesson or Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught is called the Beatitudes. But this word, it means supreme blessedness, this word beatitude. Supreme blessedness or exalted happiness. Now, many of these things that he begins to tell us, as we'll look in the coming weeks, most of these things to the outside world, if you would tell them you were going through these things, if you would tell them, oh, I'm poor in spirit, I'm mourning, I'm persecuted, I'm all these different things that he begins to tell us about, that, and you say, but yet I'm supremely blessed, they would think you're crazy. Because most of the outside world, they look at things in monetary value. They look at it in numbers and dollars and cents and square feet and things like that. But for the bride of Jesus Christ, we're not just looking at our situation here. Money comes and goes, buildings come and go, and careers and different things like that. It's wonderful if God's blessed you in that way. But when Jesus is looking at these things and he's talking about being blessed, he's not talking about in the temporal, but he's talking about an eternal type of blessing. We looked at Lazarus last week as he laid there by the gate of the rich young ruler, and most of us wouldn't have wanted to trade places with him for anything. There he sat with sores and the dogs licking and begging for just a few crumbs from this great rich ruler that had to keep building bigger barns and bigger barns to hold all that he could hold, and yet this man just laying there begging for some crumbs. A lot of us would have traded places with the rich young ruler as far as his financial status and his bank account a lot quicker than we would have Lazarus. Nazareth. But Jesus looks at this type of situation. He said, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we looked at the parable, as Jesus began to talk about it, when Lazarus and the rich young ruler both faced their eternal destination, we found very quickly that even in the natural way of looking at things and the way that people look at life, and most of the people outside of the message that we would come in contact with, they would have thought, oh my, I wouldn't trade to be Lazarus for anything. I wouldn't want to go through his trials and things like that. But his trials were temporal. His sickness was temporal. His weakness and his lack of food and all these things were temporal. But Jesus looks at it and he says, yes, blessed, supremely blessed, exalted. Happiness. That's what these poor in spirit are, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we look at it in the long term, we can see very quickly whose place we would have wanted to be in, even though to take Lazarus' place for the short term would have been devastating, but the long term payouts were much better.
Amen.
Jesus goes on to say here, as we looked at it tonight, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, you may be in different stages of mourning here tonight. Maybe you're mourning over a loved one that's walked away from the truth. Or maybe you're mourning because you've got a job situation or a marital situation. Or maybe there's some sickness in the family. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You may be mourning for all kinds of different reasons tonight. But Jesus said, if you're mourning, you're blessed. Now, that sounds ridiculous to the intellectual mind. When somebody, you see somebody out and they follow a casket along weeping, and you can say, you're blessed. When you can see somebody with their checking account in the negative balance and say, you're blessed. When you can see somebody whose children are backslidden and say, see them mourning and weeping at an altar, praying and seeking God for their soul, and you say, you're blessed. You say, how on earth can you say that, Brother Nathan, in the condition that I'm in tonight? Because if you're mourning, you're blessed, for you're going to be comforted. David looked at it in the Psalms, and if you go back and you read a lot of the Psalms, David was constantly talking about his enemies and asking God to recompense the evil that his enemies had shown on him. And he says here in Psalm 41 verse 5, he says, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Now, this is David speaking, and he's in turmoil. He's been running from his enemies and hiding out in the backside of the desert, back in caves and different things. And he's seeking and he's praying and he's asking God, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? But yet in 2 Samuel chapter 1, when they come running and tell him about the death of Saul, he didn't do like a lot of us would do and dance a little jig and say, oh, I don't have to worry about that trial no more. But we find that when he hears this news that this man that has persecuted him, this man that has chased him all about Palestine, this man that has tried to kill him on multiple occasions, he hears the news that he's dead, and here he's been praying and seeking God, how long shall my enemy live and when shall his name perish? And they bring him the news, and it says they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul. This man that had brought so much evil on him. Many of you, if you heard, oh my, you know, that boss that had been giving you grief and trying to call you a holy roller and make fun of you, that he got fired and the CEO had came in and dropped the axe and said, he's never working for us again. You'd be out there in the parking lot shouting hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. But yet David had prayed and prayed and prayed for deliverance over this. But yet once Saul is gone, he mourns and weeps until even and fasted even for this man that had caused him so much trouble. But he recognized that this man was anointed of God. Not only did he mourn and he weep and he fast, but once he finds out that this man that comes and delivers the message is the one that killed him, he said, oh, weren't you afraid to touch God's anointed? And he has a man come and run him through under the fifth rib. And we look at it and we think, David, you should have been happy. This man that had tormented you and persecuted you and all these things, he's finally out of your hair. But Solomon goes on to say in Proverbs 24 verse 17, he may have learned this lesson from watching how his daddy reacted to this situation. He says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. You know, many times we get excited when we find out that something bad happened to one of our enemies. Oh, you know, so-and-so that used to make fun of you and call you a holy roller and call you all these things and say you was following a man. You know, they backslid and their children have left the message and they did all this and they did all that. And you think, oh my, I knew he was just an old serpent seed all the time. You better watch the attitude that you have. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Solomon goes on to say in Ecclesiastes, he says to every, chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. In verse 4, he says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now, we find that he's trying to explain us the law of contrast, as Brother Branham calls it. And Brother Branham refers to that many times, the law of contrast. And he says it's the law of pro and con. And how that if you was just healthy all the time and you never got a cold or sinus troubles or never got the flu, you wouldn't really appreciate you being healthy. And if you'd never seen the inside of a hospital bed or hospital room, you would never appreciate what it's like to not be in one of those hospital beds. Had you never seen some low degraded woman out here, a prostitute or a drunk or a drug addict, you could never really appreciate that wife that you have sitting beside you tonight, because you would just think, well, everybody's just like Sister Jeannie or Sister Rebecca or Sister Sarah or whoever, you know, everybody's just like that. But when we can look and we can see, you know what, we're blessed tonight, brothers. Amen. Maybe you sisters should elbow your husband real hard and look at him and say, you're blessed tonight. To know that you have a wife that loves God and that's following the message and that lives a good, clean, holy life before your children. We're blessed. Amen. A lot of times we take these things for granted, but when we look at the law of pro and con and we begin to see how that, you know, there's so many out here. Brother Bram said there's millionaires that would trade places with you to not have to worry about where their wife's at night. And as we talked about it a few weeks ago, there he stood down at that little box car listening in to the conversation these people were having. And I said, oh my, you know, it's a good thing maybe he didn't stand outside of our door sometimes when we was hollering at the wife because she burned our shirt and she was hollering at us trying to find a rolling pin to hit us over the head with. And it might have been a good thing he wasn't standing outside of our door sometimes, but he was standing outside of this box car and he's standing there listening in on this conversation. They're trying to find the money. Choosing of a Bride, 1965, he tells the story about how, you know, this man wanted to buy his wife a dress and he had married him and they didn't have hardly any money, and he mashes down his little hat and pours out the money, and this much they owed for the car insurance and this much for this. And I'm sure many of us have been there many times, you know, trying to make ends meet and live off of a budget, and they were trying to lay it out. And he said, oh, I wanted to get you that dress so bad, honey, but I just don't have the money. And Brother Bram said, I turned and I could look up on the hill over there near Cordon Pike. And he said, I could look over there and see the steeple of the other man's house that had 24 karat gold on his doorknobs. And he said, which one would you choose, William Branham? Which one would you choose if you could pick? He said, this man down here in the boxcar, he was the blessed man. Oh, many times we want to lay it off on, you know, oh my, I wish I had what brother so-and-so had, and I wish God had blessed me with this, and I wish God had blessed me with that. And many times when we're looking at those things, it's things of monetary value, the size of somebody's house or whatever it would be. But if you look around tonight, and you look at that wife sitting beside you, you look at those children that are healthy, and you look around and see your blessings and begin to count them. When we got food on the table and a roof over our head and a church to assemble in, and many of the churches overseas and things don't even have a roof on their church, or don't even have normal floors, just a sawdust floor, dirt floor, something like that. And God's blessed us to where many of them are eating a meal every other day and things like that over in Uganda and different places right now where there's droughts and things. And we look around, anybody in America can bum a dollar to go buy a 99-cent cheeseburger. Nobody in this country is facing what some of those people are facing. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed tonight. The law of contrast, Brother Bram said, to look at it. He said, you can never appreciate a beautiful sunrise if you had never seen night. You could never appreciate a mountaintop unless you'd gone through a valley experience. And sometimes when we're in the valley, we're praying and seeking and beating on the altar for a mountaintop experience. But once we get there, if you was just up on the mountaintop all the time, it would just become common to you. You never appreciate it. But when you go through some valleys and some trials and some financial burdens and some physical things, and then you look back and you see, oh my, look how far God brought me. You can appreciate it. Amen. And so he says, to everything there's a season and a time, and to every purpose under heaven, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, David had been, we know the story. He goes in and he sees Bathsheba, and here Uriah's out there at battle, and he goes in and he takes Bathsheba into himself, and then he finds out she's with child, and he goes and he tries to cover the thing up, and now he goes and Uriah, he brings him in and he tries to cover this thing up, and yet he realizes that's not going to work. And so he takes Uriah and he sends him packing a message under his arm to go to Joab and say, here, when this man gets back to you, put him out on the front lines. And then once the battle gets heavy, just pull back from him. And he's just basically signed his death sentence is all that it comes down to. And he sends this message wrapped in the arms of Uriah himself. He's delivering his own death sentence. I wonder how many have packed message books under their arms and on their shelves, and they've read it and they've heard it. They've heard the cassette tapes and they've heard the MP3s, and they've been in services and feel the move of God. And there they were walking around packing something that might eventually become their death sentence if they're not careful to turn and walk away from it. But yet this man goes packing this message to the front lines, and they pull back and he dies. And Nathan the prophet comes in and he says, David, he said there was a man with some sheep. He had a abundance of sheep, and he had a neighbor that he just had one little ewe lamb, and this man got to looking at it and he decided he wanted it, and he went and he took this lamb and he brought it in to himself, and he treated his neighbor wickedly. He said, what do you think should be done? He said, oh, the man deserves to die. You know, when it's somebody else, we're pretty quick to judge. Oh, you know, sister so-and-so, she's really struggling right now, we say, you know. And you put up on prayer requests on Facebook and Twitter, oh, please pray for brother so-and-so. You know, he's really at a low point right now. Many times you pray those people in the back with your prayer requests when you should have kept it to yourself in your prayer closet somewhere.
Amen.
Oh, you know, brother so-and-so, he's really struggling right now, and he's just really going through a trial, and oh my, you know, I always thought there was something about that guy. You know, we're quick to judge when it's somebody else, but when it comes to us or our family, we're a little bit more hesitant. You know, well, grace, cried the capstone. That's right. Not just for you and your family, but for everybody else too.
Amen.
And so we find that David, he's quick to judge. He says, oh my, the man deserves death. And Nathan turns around, he says, the man is you, David. But David recognized what he had done, and he repents quickly, and he goes in, he begins to weep and to cry. And you go back in the Psalms and you read it, and it says a Psalm of David when he had sinned with Bathsheba. And he starts off and he says, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And these anointed words that this man that just went out and committed adultery, this man that just went out and had one of his own servants killed, he turns and he begins to repent to God. And God looks down and he says, David, I anointed you so much with those words, I'm going to put them in the Bible. But most of us, we would have made somebody wait about 10 years, and then we would have made them get up in front of about every message church that we could think of and repent of what they'd done. Then maybe we would let them sit on the pew if they were lucky. God says, David, I know you just sinned. I know you fell. This is the lowest that you've ever been. This is the worst mistake you'll ever make in your life, but you're still my prophet. You're still my anointed. And he places these words in the Bible. Now, when David does this sin, though, God didn't just say, well, David, that's, you know, I appreciate you repenting, and you know, there's just not going to be anything that you have to do because of that. But whenever there's a sin, there's a penalty thereof. And even though David was forgiven in the sight of God, and even though it didn't affect his predestination, I want to tell you tonight that the worst sins that he ever did, standing there having a man killed, standing there committing adultery, it didn't affect his predestination. It didn't change God's mind about him. God didn't go back in the Bible and rip out the page where it said that he was a man after his own heart. But what it did was it made his road down here a lot harder. You can't change God's mind about you. You may have run and tried to do all that you can to get away from him, but if you're his, he'll find you somewhere. You can run tonight, but you can't hide. If you're a predestinated seed, he'll find you on a bar stool. He'll find you in an alley. He'll find you with needles in your veins. He'll find you somewhere, and he'll bring you back if you're one of his. You're not going to change his mind about you. But what you may do is change your destination down here. The road that you're traveling might be a lot harder than it would have had to be. I've said many times, you know, Brother Branham said we come on free moral agency. That's right. I believe that. We can choose the easy way or the hard way. But he also said that we were saved before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Amen. So my free moral agency isn't going to change my eternal destination, but it might cause me a lot of problems down here. David, when he recognizes what he's done, the child is born, the child's dying, and he goes into the altar and he begins to mourn and to weep and to cry. And they come in a little bit and you know, here he is in this situation. He's a sinner. He recognizes that he's made this mistake. He's come. He's repented. He's made things right. He's trying to serve God to the best of his ability. And now his little baby is dying. And he's weeping and he's mourning and crying on the altar. And he's fasting. He's got sackcloth and ashes on. And Jesus looks down through history and he says, "Blessed. Blessed are they that mourn." Now, David probably didn't feel very blessed. Here he is laying there weeping and crying for this little child that's dying. But he says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." They come and they're standing there whispering. They said, "Oh my, if he's doing all this while the baby's alive, how are any of us going to go tell him that the baby's died?" And David realizes what's going on. He rises up. He says, "Is the child dead?" They said, "Yes." He goes in. He washes his face, changes his clothes. He goes in to the house of God. And he worships. That's what 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 20 says. He came into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Job, you remember when all of his family and his houses and his camels and his riches and everything was taken from him. It didn't say that Job said, "God, I promised you I'd serve you as long as my checking account was above a certain level. And I promised I'd serve you as long as my children did this. And as long as this, we was all healthy and happy." He didn't accuse God, but he went in and said he fell on his face and worshiped. And here David, in the darkest trial that maybe he ever faced, and he doesn't accuse God. He doesn't say, "I don't understand. You anointed me as king. You said I was a man after your own heart. You've written all these psalms and a large portion of the Bible. You've written either about me or through me." And as we looked at it a few months ago, even the name David is mentioned in the Bible even more times than Abraham or even the name Jesus. All these different things that God did and blessed David. And then you let my little baby die. He didn't accuse God. He went in and he lays down in the house of the Lord and he begins to worship. And his servants couldn't understand it. They said in verse 21, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou did fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I go bring him again? Or I shall go to him, but he shall return no more unto me." But yet Jesus looks and he says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted."
Amen.
Brother Branham said the darkest hour for him. He said his Gethsemane. You remember he tells us in one place he said that Jesus suffered more in Gethsemane than he did on the cross, because he said they couldn't take his life until he laid it down. But it was that self-denial and that death to self was the hardest part in Gethsemane. Brother Bram said his Gethsemane was when little Sharon Rose was dying there. And he said it was just like a black curtain came down. The devil said, "Oh, I see. Yeah, you served him. You've prayed. You've done all this. You've told people what a good God he is. And now he doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you." He said he couldn't convince me that he didn't exist, but he was trying to convince me that he didn't care for me. Oh, I'm sure all of you are angels and you've never been in those type of situations where you wondered if God really cared for you or not. He was at his Gethsemane and he began to wonder. He began to look, "Oh God, here I am." And all this, he said, "I was just about to say, that's right. That's right." And he said, "But there was something down on the inside that said the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh my, it's hard to understand. Here he is in his darkest hour. And Jesus says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And God sends David, a little boy, Solomon,
into his home immediately after that. He goes in and he comforts Bathsheba, and God comforts him through this way. Brother Branham could lay there, and no doubt in his mind, as we've looked at it before, to see the death of this little child. And no, he would look at it many, many years later in life story in 1959. He begins to break down and cry talking about it so much. He says, I just can't go on. I just can't preach anymore. And it's still the emotional, the physical side of him. It was still a terrible thing for him to even recount. But yet on the other side of that door, even though God shuts a door over here, on the other side of that door, he looks beyond the curtain of time, and there stands Sharon Rose in a healthy body that never had to suffer, never had to get sick, never had to be tempted by drugs or alcohol or cigarettes. Oh my, he might have been mourning, but he was comforted when he saw that. Amen. David said in the Psalms in 1930, he said, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night. There's a time to weep, Solomon said. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. David says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Brother Branham tells this story in Life of Demons in 1951, and I'm going to backtrack the story a little bit here before we read the quote, but he said that he had been going up there into Milltown, and he'd been holding a revival up there, and little Georgie Carter, she wanted to come down and get baptized, and he had been up there, and her parents didn't want to have anything to do with it. They were Church of Christ people. Their pastor had told them all kinds of things about Brother Branham, and said if anybody went down from their church, he was gonna take away their membership and all these different things. And Brother Branham's over at the Wright's house, and he's in between services on a Sunday there, and he says, I'm going to go out and pray. And Brother Wright says, Brother Branham, you go on out there and pray, and Mom will ring the dinner bell when it's time for you to come. And he said he went out there and he began to pray. I know many of you have probably had situations like this, but Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present there with me. And he said, I went to kneel, and he said it was too rocky and it hurt my knees, and so I moved over, and he said then there was all kinds of briars and things poking me. He said, so I moved to a different place and the mosquitoes was eating me up, and he said finally I just said, well, go ahead and drink then, mosquitoes. He said, I've got to talk to God. And as he was praying there, he begins to break into this vision. He sees a little lamb caught in the thicket, and he says a voice spoke to him and said, go by the way of Carter's. I'd like for some of these that have written up their websites and things and make fun of him and call him a false prophet and say that the visions didn't come to pass. I'd like to see him try to convince Georgie Carter that the visions didn't come to pass. Said, go by the way of Carter's. And he said he took off running through the field and was climbing over a fence. And as he jumped over the fence, he went right into the arms of Brother Wright that was coming from the other side trying to find him. He said, Sister Wright's been ringing the bell for you to come. We've been looking all over for you, about to send search parties. He said, there'll be no dinner today. We're going to by the way of Carter's. And there her mother was sitting there praying, God, why did you let this deceiver come into this country and begin to work up my child? And he said, as she was praying, he said, just seemed like something broke forth and seemed like Jesus was standing there, and he pointed and he said, who's this coming? And so the car door slammed about that time, Brother Branham getting out of the car, coming in. God always works on both ends of the line. Amen. He says in Life of Demons and Visions in 1951, he says, little Georgie cried. She promised God if she could get healed that afternoon, she'd go down and be baptized. And she hadn't raised off that bed now, her head up, for 9 years and 8 months. And then she was laying there crying. This little girl, little teenage girl, Brother Branham said that even Florence Nightingale, that we see the picture of, and a man sent from God and prophet visit South Africa, and different ones where Florence Nightingale that he prayed for, she was just a skeleton. It looked like skin and bones. And he said, little Georgie Carter was much worse off than she was. Couldn't even raise her head, and they had to lift her and pull the sheet off and things like that. And she had laid there for 9 years and 8 months crying and weeping. And here she is crying, promising God if she could get healed, she'd go down and get baptized. Don't worry, Georgie. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy's coming in the morning. Here she had laid there. Maybe she could hear. You know, many of you have been by her house there. And Brother Hamby took me a few months ago and showed me where her house was and where the old church was and where her graveyard is, her gravestone, and her whole life from the where she went to church and where she lived and where her gravestone is about, you could fit it all in about the size of a football field. And there, maybe she had laid on that bed and she had heard the other children running up and down the streets of Milltown playing and laughing, and she lay there and weep and cry, "Oh God, why has this got to be? Why am I laying here and hearing these other children run around and play and talk about all the different things, their little boyfriends and girlfriends and where they're going to eat and what they're going to do and what they're going to play and what type of jobs and what type of school and all these different things. And here I lay for 9 years and 8 months," and she was weeping and she was mourning and she was discouraged. But it's okay, Georgie. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy's coming in the morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? 1960, he says, I walked over to the bed and said, "Georgie, I don't know why, but Jesus Christ," he said, "looked at the back of her bed where she could get her hands back. She'd rubbed all the paint off the little poster bed where her little hands had been back there crying and crying and praying, and said, Georgie, Jesus Christ makes you whole." He said she began to get out of the bed. In fact, he tells in one place, he said, I told her to stand up and accept her healing. He said, I would have not done that for anything if it had been me. He said, because her little legs looked like broomsticks. How was she going to stand up? But he said, when he said, Georgie, rise up in the name of Jesus Christ, he said, she jumped out of that bed and began to run outside and bless the grass and the trees. And she began to come down and sit inside at the piano and play there as a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And her mother fainted, and her daddy came in to see what was going on and sees his daughter sitting there at the piano playing. She'd laid on her back for 9 years and 6 months. You think they could have convinced them he was a false prophet? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Jesus says it this way again in Luke chapter 6 verse 21. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. David says in the Psalms, in Psalm chapter 30 verse 11, he says, thou hast turned for my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. There was a man at the gate called Beautiful. And Brother Bram says it this way. He said, on the day of Pentecost, when those people was filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, he said the devil didn't even get out of bed. Here they went around speaking in tongues and professing that they was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said the devil didn't even get out of bed. And he said, but then these two Pentecostal preachers, he said, you could tell they were Pentecostal because they said, silver and gold have I none. He said, they didn't have a dime between the two of them. And he said, they came walking down the road, and there sits a man at the gate called Beautiful that's been lame from his mother's womb. And no doubt Jesus, going in and out of the temple, had walked by that gate and seen this beggar many times. And it wasn't that Jesus wasn't able to heal him. It was that he wasn't ready to receive it yet. But yet one day these two men come walking down the road, and he looked on them as if he was going to receive something. And he said, oh, do you have any alms or anything like that? They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Right. And here he had sat, and they had to pick him up and carry him and put him in the place that he was going to sit and beg every day. And they'd bring him back to that same place every day. And he'd sit there all day long with his little cup, hoping to get enough money to have enough food to eat on that day. And then they'd carry him back to his home, and he'd sit there, and they'd bring him back and carry him and sit him again and start the whole thing over again the next day. And he sat there day after day after day for years and years and years. And even Jesus walk into the temple and maybe him look and see this man that had healed the blinded eyes, that had raised the dead, that had healed the lepers, that had healed the lame, that had healed the halt, that had healed the epileptic. And he sees him walking out. He thinks, why would he let me sit here in this condition? Maybe you wanted the same thing tonight. Why, God? Why am I in this condition that I'm in tonight? Why would you let this financial trouble? Why would you let this family animosity? Why would you let these burdens and things that are going on in my life? Why would you let these things around the message to take place? Why would you let this one say this and that one say that? Oh, don't worry. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy's coming in the morning.
Amen.
And he could sit there and he could question and he could wonder. But one day these two men come up, and He asked them, they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we unto you. And when they begin to lift him up and strength begin to come into those legs, oh, I thought we was going to see a repeat of it this morning, I'll be honest. When Brother Lauren came up for prayer on that altar and he went over there and began to dance as much as a man in the spirit can dance on a walker, I told Brother Furman, I said, you keep singing, buddy, because he may take off running any minute. Amen. I honestly believed it in my heart. Who knows? He may be running around his living room right now. Because he came up and he laid his Bible open on the top of his walker. And he turned it over to the book of James where it said, if there be any sick among you, let them anoint them with oil and lay their hands on them and pray the prayer of faith and they shall recover. Didn't say maybe or hope so or I think so. He said, I believe this right here. I believe this right here. Amen. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but I believe God will honor his faith. Amen. And this man, when strength began to come into his legs, he began not just, he didn't just kind of walk into the temple and say, I don't want to disturb anybody. I know you all are having your daily mass and I wouldn't want to upset anybody. But it said he went running and leaping and dancing through the temple and those Pharisees probably thought, oh my, another holy roller come in here, I guess. I heard there was a group of them down there on the day of Pentecost a few days ago, and they got a little loud. And you know, there was something about it. Brother Bram said, wherever Jesus went, there was noise. And in fact, some people in the city asked him one day, said, could you make your disciples be a little more quiet? Because my, they're singing Hosanna, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They're making too much noise. He said, I can do it if you want to hear some rocks begin to scream and cry out. Because if they hold their peace, even the rocks will cry out. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want no rock taking my place. Amen. Amen. Some of you, if I'd take you down to a Louisville game, you'd be so happy. You'd be about to run and jump and kick over some chairs. Or I know some of you would take a UK game to do it instead of a U of L game. But some of you'd be so happy and so excited when they swished those three-pointers and when they was ahead by 30 points at halftime. You'd be about to roll up your socks and take off running around the place. And we begin to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and how he died for us and saved us and redeemed us when we was unworthy. He loved us when we was unlovable. And, well, amen, I guess that was a good service. I don't want no rock taking my place. Mm-mm. This man began to run and to leap and to shout through the temple. Brother Bram said all hell turned loose. And they began to take him and find him and put him in prison and beat him and everything. Why? Because Satan recognized this was more than just men saying they had the Holy Ghost. But that same spirit that he had tried to kill on Calvary had come back and was dwelling in his people. Dwelling in the people of God. And now, can you imagine how upset he was here? He thought, oh, I thought I killed him. And now there's 120 of them running around. And then the next day there was 3,000. And then the next day there was as many as the Lord would add to the church daily was saved. And he thought, oh, I should have just left it when it was just one of them. But Brother Branham said he divided himself and put a little lick of fire in this one, a little lick of fire in that one, and a little lick of fire over there, and a little lick of fire over there. And you can go out and testify of the grace that God's given to you in your heart. Oh, it makes the devil tremble. We read it a few weeks ago. Brother Branham said when the weakest Christian falls to their knees, it makes Satan tremble. And some of us, even though we claim to be message believers, have lived so bound for so many years that we tremble at, oh, what if Satan gives me this? And what if he does that? And what if I miss this? And what if this takes place? And oh, you've read this in the news, and oh, there's this disease now, and you better be careful about this germ and that germ. And Satan has had us trembling for so many years, it's time for us to go to our knees and let him do the trembling for a while. That man may have mourned for a while, but God turned his mourning into dancing. You heard Brother Branham on the tape today talking about Congressman Upshaw. 66 years this man sat in a wheelchair or walked around with crutches. 66 years he was lame, fell off of a hay wagon and broke his back. And they had to drill holes in the floor so that when people would walk, the vibrations wouldn't hurt his back. That's how bad his back was. Some of you all may have had back problems, but I don't think you've ever had it that bad. And here he is, 66 years that he sat in that condition, and he walks into a service one night. And a prophet of God sees a little man with a brown striped shirt or a brown pinstripe suit walking down through there wearing a little hat tilted sideways. And he begins to describe it. And they said, oh, that sounds like Congressman Upshaw. Did you ever know of him? And he said, no. And they ran an extension mic out there. And he began to explain. He said, yes, that's me exactly. And he said, you're healed, Congressman Upshaw. 66 years he had mourned. God, why can't I walk like everybody else? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Lord, why would you have allowed me? 66 years he had mourned, but God turned his mourning into laughter and rejoicing. And turned his mourning into dancing. Brother Bram said he walked out there and he bent down and touched his toes and jumped up in there and clicked his heels together. A man 80 or 90 something years old. I guess he was in his late 80s. And here he goes after 66 years. God turned his mourning into dancing.
All right.
I believe he can do it again tonight.
Amen.
You've maybe been mourning about all kinds of things. Oh, I wish I could be like Brother So-and-so. And oh, why can't I have what Brother So-and-so has? And oh my, you know, why can't I this and why can't I that? Why don't you let God just come on the scene tonight and turn your mourning into dancing? St. John chapter 11, we don't have time to go through the whole thing tonight, but Jesus, when he came to the grave of Lazarus, and he goes there and he talks to Martha. And Martha comes and she gets Mary and she whispers him to her and says, the master has come. And all these people sitting around mourning with her, they see Mary jump up and run out and they say, oh, she's gone to the grave to weep there. And they thought she was going down to cry a little more, but God was getting ready to turn her crying into dancing. Amen. And she goes down to the grave and here her brother has been dead 4 days, laying in a tomb. She said, oh, if you had been here, Lord. Oh, Lord, if you had just been here, my family wouldn't have done this. And if you had just been here, Lord, that financial trouble wouldn't have happened. Lord, if you had just been here, this sickness wouldn't be on me. Lord, if you had been here, this and this and that. Many times he walks away for a little while to let something come on us so that he can correct us a little bit or so that he can be glorified. The people looked and they saw Jesus standing there. When he begins to weep at the grave, as he looks around, he sees all those others mourning and weeping. And it said he groaned within himself. And it says Jesus wept. Moved by human compassion, he looks and he sees one of his closest friends laying there in a tomb. And he looks and sees his sisters standing there crying and weeping. And Jesus himself, overcome by human compassion, he stands there and weeps. And people said, oh my, he couldn't be God and stand there and weep like a man. Brother Ram said, oh my. Said, when he was standing there weeping like a man, oh, he said, that was the man part. But when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he said, that was more than a man. It was God in the man. It was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. Oh my. And we saw the same sign in this age. Not the fullness of the Godhead, but that same sign of the Son of Man came in this age. And he can stand there and say, Mary, that was more than a man. That wasn't a humble Kentuckian that could perform that. It was him yielding himself to God so that God could take complete control of his body, of his vocal cords, of his tongue, to where he would even have to say, I'll have to go back and see what he said. Can you imagine standing there and speaking and saying things about people? And he said, now, I don't know what he told you, but whatever it was it right? How could it be? He yielded himself so much to God that people mistook him for God. I want to live that kind of life. Not that I want people to think I'm God, but it sure would be nice for somebody to say, you know what, Brother Nathan, Brother Hoover, Brother Layton, some of you brothers, my, you live so godly, and I see the way you treat your family. I see the way you live and the way the signs and wonders follow your ministry. It's just almost like seeing the ministry of Christ here on earth again. You know, that's what the bride's supposed to be. He said she'd be the final voice to the final age. But the problem is many of us have spent too much time with the remote control or out at a ball game somewhere or out doing this recreation or this type of fellowship or this type of thing. We got to do this for the church and we got to do this for this brother and we got to do all these things. That's wonderful. That's all right. Some of those things, that's fine. But when you spend so much time with that you're not spending time in the Word and not listening to the tapes and not spending time on your knees to where that atmosphere can come and dwell in you like it should. It's time to recheck our priorities.
Amen.
He could stand there and speak, and this man raised from the dead. They looked at him, said, my, couldn't this man that opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. They said, couldn't this man that could open the blind eyes, couldn't he have made it to where this man couldn't die? And he could have stood there and said, yes, you blind hypocrite. That's why I had to leave for 4 days. Because if I would have been here, they had so much faith in me, I don't believe he would have died. But he had to go away. And they said, he said, oh, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. They said, oh, Lord, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. He said, let me put it in your language. A Christian doesn't die, but let me just put it well. You understand, he's dead. And he goes back and he weeps and he's laid there 4 days. Brother Bram said his nose sinking in and all these things. He said, take ye away the stone. Oh, I hope tonight that you can by faith take away the stone that's preventing you from your blessing tonight. Take away the stone. And the sister of Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said not I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Right. Oh my, loose him and let him go. Some of you that Satan's got so bound down that you're scared of everything and scared if you touch something, you're going to get a disease or get a germ. I wish tonight God would just loose you and let you go. Loose you from some of these things that bind you down, from fears and nervousness and oppression and depression and discouragement, all these things that Satan has tried to weigh down. And you look at the 6 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news and you begin to worry, oh, they're saying this is going to take place and Russia has this new bomb and Donald Trump's going to do this and this one's going to do that and this one's going to say this and there's riots and all these different things, and it begins to oppress you and depress you and you get so wore out and depressed and discouraged. Why don't you just let God loose you and let you go from some of that stuff? And he speaks, and this man, they had been mourning and weeping over this man for 4 days. And they didn't have cell phones. They couldn't text Jesus. They couldn't email him. They couldn't get a hold of him. They tried to find him all over the place. And here he comes in. Maybe some have thought, yeah, that's about right. 4 days late. But no, he was right on time.
Amen.
Amen. To the natural eye, it seemed like it was 4 days late. To those that had been mourning and weeping and crying for 4 days, till maybe they felt like they didn't have any tears left in their bodies, but Jesus was coming on the scene to turn their mourning into dancing.
Amen.
Oh, I bet they got a little excited around the gravestone when he came walking out of there after 4 days and began to talk to him. They said, oh my, what did you see, Lazarus? What is it like over there? What was this like? And what was that like? And did you talk to Father Abraham? And did you see this one? Did you see that one? I'd say they had a little revival there around the grave. Believest thou this, 1950, if the musicians would come, I'm trying to close. Brother Bram, speaking of Lazarus' sisters, he said they sat in sackcloth, black veils, and weeping and mourning over their brother. And now in the very darkest of hours, then Jesus came along. That's just the way he does it. Amen. Brother, it may be your darkest hour right now, but Jesus comes along just at that darkest hour.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Wonder how many would slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I'm in the middle of a trial right now. I don't know. I've prayed and I've sought God and seems like there's no way around it or over it, or seems like I can't get an answer. Seems like it's my darkest hour. There's all kinds of things that are taking place. Discouraging things, financial things, family things, spiritual things, whatever it would be that Satan's tried to oppress you with or discourage you with. How many raise up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I've been mourning over some of these things. I've been mourning over lost loved ones. I've been mourning over our financial situation. I've been mourning over relatives. I've been mourning over spouses. I've been mourning over ones that have gone on. I've been mourning over all kinds of different situations around the message and situations in the world. And I've been so distraught and so discouraged, but I want him to come tonight and turn my mourning into dancing. I want him to take away the weeping and turn it into joy. Amen. He's here tonight. Amen. He can come on the scene and change those circumstances. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you saw the hands. Lord, you could stand there on the side of the mountain. You could look down at the people. Lord, maybe some of them halt, some of them lame, some of them blind, some of them lepers. Some of them, Lord, maybe didn't have enough money for hardly a meal. Some of them going through all kinds of different spiritual or physical battles. And you could look down, you could say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And Lord, even though it may have not seemed like they were supremely blessed during some of the things they were going through, to hear you say those words, to have that comfort, to know that, Lord, if we're in the middle of mourning right now, that we're going to be comforted. To know, Lord, that if we're in the middle of a trial right now, there's a mountaintop for us somewhere. Lord, it brings us comfort and peace to know that you said those words. Lord, those words are just as true as John 3:16 or Hebrews 13:8 or any other scripture. Lord, when you spoke those words, you meant them. When you spoke those words, Lord, we believe that you honor your word and back up your word. So, Lord, for any, Lord, that are mourning over different situations in their life, maybe they've struggled, maybe they've cried and wept and prayed, and they don't know what to do or where to turn, Lord, may you just comfort them tonight to let them know that they're blessed. Even in the middle of the trial, even in the middle of the valley, even in the middle, Lord, of whatever they're facing, Lord, whatever they're weeping about, they're blessed tonight. Not only blessed, but supremely blessed, as we looked at the meaning of that word, Father, because, Lord, they're going to be comforted. And, Lord, to know that in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of financial troubles, or in times of losing loved ones, or in times of sickness, in times of disease or peril, or in times of family issues, whatever it would be, Lord, you're the only one that can truly come and comfort during times like that. So to hear you say those words, Lord, that even though we might be mourning for a season, even though weeping may endure for the night, that we're blessed because you'll come and you'll give us a peace that passes understanding. You'll comfort in a way that only you can comfort during times like that. How blessed we are, Father. Lord, I don't know how others make it that don't have that type of comfort. We're blessed tonight, Father. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Help me sing this tonight.
Oh, I just came into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love he has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. You see, I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these kind of tests they must face. But it is here that God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. Our God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Oh, now I'm standing on a mountain. Looking back, I can see. It was in my lowest valley that his strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's so good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. My God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace He gives to me. Our God will make this trial a blessing. Though it sends me to my knees, oh, my tears flow like a river. Yet in Him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. Oh, yes, Lord. Maybe you're right in the middle of a trial right now. Oh, but I want to remind you of this tonight. Oh, you were not the first one to come into this place. You see every child of God. These kind of tests we'll have to face, but it is here. My God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. Our God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. Our God will make this trial a blessing. Oh, we love you tonight, Lord. Oh, my tears flow like a river. Yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need. Oh, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. So spread your wings, little worship Him together tonight. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle. Oh, yes, Father. Help us, Lord. Child, you weren't born for this valley, but you were born for the sky. So get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Let's sing it again together. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle. Softly, if you would tonight. Amen. You feel His presence here. Amen. We're going to have a baptismal service. Those of you, whether it's brothers or sisters, if you just meet us in the basement, there'll be some sisters. We'll help with the sisters getting ready for the baptistry, the baptism, and the deacon brothers will help any brothers. And we'll be expecting great things. And so happy to see these giving their hearts to God. Amen. Maybe you're in the middle of a trial right now. It's okay. It's okay. There's a mountaintop for you somewhere. Maybe you can't see. Brother Branham said that he said sometimes some of the greatest things that he'd ever run across was when he'd come up to a place where he couldn't find any way around it or over it or under it. And he said God would work away and just bring him straight through the middle of it. Amen. We can't figure God out. We don't know sometimes how it's all going to work out. But He'll turn your mourning into dancing.
He'll turn your weeping into laughing. He'll come on the scene and work in a way that only He can. Amen. You love Him tonight? Amen. Let's sing it together again.
Oh, you weren't born.
Just an announcement before they come for baptism. Any of the families that desire to take pictures, you can come up and do so. But we ask that you do not take pictures while they're leaving the baptistry. The main reason is to make sure the clothing, especially on the sisters, are hanging as it should. We don't want any inappropriate pictures taken course, as I said to the brothers today, any of us that are Christians, we should have enough sense and enough spirit of God about us to know not to put out inappropriate pictures. But Brother Nathan asked that no pictures be taken while they're exiting the baptistry. But if you want to come up reverently and take pictures while they're being baptized, that will be fine. Thank you.
Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? Oh, I am bound for the promised land. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. Oh, there God the Son forever reigns, and He scatters night away. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Maddie Cooley comes to be baptized tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as Maddie comes to give her heart to You, Lord, and to go into these waters of baptism, just to show an outward expression, Lord, of what You've done for her. Lord, we do this in obedience to Your word. It's one of the things that You left for us to do. Lord, I just ask that You'd be with her. Lord, may You keep Your guiding hand upon her all the days of her life, Lord, and just put a hedge around her, Father, so that the enemy couldn't get in, Lord. Yes. May You just be the unseen guest wherever she would go, Lord. Be with her and lead her and guide her down life's pathway. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Maddie, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free.
Nathaniel Bryant, my middle son, he comes to... middle child, he comes to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Your Heavenly Father, Lord, for Nathaniel, I just thank You for his life, Lord, and how that You just laid this upon his heart to get baptized tonight. Lord, as I prayed with him and he's accepted You as his Savior, Lord, now we just do this as an outward sign, Lord, of what he's done, the inward work that You've done in his life. Lord, I just ask that You'd be with him, Lord, all the days of his life. Watch over him and protect him. May You be his guide, Lord, and his help. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Nathaniel, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Sarah Gaddy comes to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just have a word of prayer together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for our sister, as we come together, Lord, I just ask that You'd be with her, Father, as she enters into these waters, Lord, and to take on Your name, Father. Lord, this is an outward expression of an inward work that You've done in her life.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, as we saw her come forward last Sunday, Lord, and just to accepts you, what you've done for her. Lord, maybe the enemy has tried to lie to her for years, but Lord, she came and she accepted what you did for her that day on Calvary, Lord. We thank you for her life, Lord. We thank you for her testimony, Lord, as she comes into these waters to accept you. Lord, may you be with her, Lord, and guide her and lead her all the days of her life, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Sister Sarah, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Elena Hamby comes to be baptized tonight. We just want to thank God for her decision. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for Elena, Lord, how you've seen her, Lord. She's, Lord, grown into a young woman and seeing God move in her life in the services. And Lord, how you've blessed her and her family, Lord. And how we thankful, Lord, just to have them fellowshipping with us here, Lord. I ask that you just be with her. Lord, may as she comes into these waters, Lord, to be baptized, Father, may it, Lord, just be an outward expression of an inward work that you've already done in her life. Lord, as she goes to, Lord, her schools and the different places, Lord, that she would go, Father, around the other message believers or other children, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with her, Lord. May you just grant a hedge around her, Father, Lord, where you would just give her grace and mercy in her life, Lord, to be able to hold her head above the darkness and evilness of this age, Father. Just be with her and her family. May you be the unseen guest in their home, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Elena, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book, it's mine.
Baptized, and I was thinking today, I remember when the little Baptist girl came to our storefront church for the first time, probably didn't know what to think of us, but just to see her grow, how she has spiritually in the Lord, and see her come to these waters and accept. She's already been baptized, I believe, in titles years ago, but she just wanted to come and fell in and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we appreciate her life and just want to pray for tonight. Your Heavenly Father, for Sister Savannah, Lord, and just to see how that you moved, Lord, for her and Brother David, Lord, and how they've been so faithful in attending, Lord. And Lord, even though their work is very busy, Lord, they try to be here so often, Lord, I appreciate them and appreciate their stand for this word. And Lord, just to see how you brought them both along, Lord, I thank you. Only you can do that, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just want to give you glory and praise tonight. Lord, and as she feels led to come to these waters to accept your name, Father, Lord, may it just be a reflection of an inward work that's been done in her, Father. Lord, may you just be in their home, Lord, and just watch over them, Father. May you be the unseen guest, Father, everywhere they would go, whatever they would do, Father. Jesus Christ's name. Sister Samantha, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Every promise in the book, it's mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the
child, little Ruth Bryant, comes to be baptized tonight, and we talked it over a couple days ago to make sure she understood what it meant to be baptized, what it meant to be saved, and had a prayer together, and just want to have a word of prayer with her tonight before we baptize her. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You said, suffer the children to come unto Me, Lord, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, You said unless we could come with childlike faith, Lord, that we wouldn't be accepted. Lord, as she comes into these waters, Lord, to accept You as her Savior, Lord. And Lord, just an outward expression of the prayer that we had a few days ago. Lord, I just ask You to be with her, Lord. May You just watch over from all the evils in this world, Lord. May You just keep Your hand upon her, lead her and guide her every step of the way, Lord. May she just grow into just a wonderful Christian lady, Father. And Lord, may You use her, Lord, just to be an example to others. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. We baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus, oh, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus.
Tonight to be baptized, and we had a word with her, I guess yesterday, with her parents, and we had a word of prayer, and she wanted to come into the waters and be baptized tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for Emma, I just ask that You be with her. Lord, as she's made this decision, Lord, knowing that, Lord, one of the best decisions she could ever make, Lord, would be to accept You as Savior, to accept the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, coming in these waters, making this first step, Lord, accepting You as her Savior, Lord, knowing what an impact it can have, Lord. May You just be, Lord, with her all the days of her life. Be with her at her school. Be with her, Lord, with anyone that she comes in contact with. May You protect her and use her, Lord, to be a light to others in this dark age. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord's old way. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. I'm feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, but talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this. Let's go on talking about this good old. Let's go on talking about the Lord.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful seeing all the saints give their heart to the Lord? We have lots to be thankful for. Let's try this chorus tonight. Amen.
Thank you, oh Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all